This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive, and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Getting ready for really one of the great treasures. It's not a secret. It's a treasure here in Arkansas. It is Oakline. I mean, been doing it for more than 100 years. And I know a lot of people, plan in the spring to, late winter, early spring to make a trip to Hot Springs because of Oakline. So we're excited to make our trip here today to be here on day one. Oh, absolutely. 2019.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime that you come down to Hot Springs, one of the first things that you always think of when you go down here is that you have to go and stop by Oaklawn. And, it's funny because we did this show towards the end of last season in Oaklawn. And we were in a different location than what we were because today we are, seems like we're right in the middle of things.
Yeah. Last year we did these shows and for years, Ruskin and I would do them from right here where we're at. Near the paddock, and then last year they had us go to the track kitchen, which anytime we can do a show from a kitchen,
I'm
voting in favor of that. Mm-hmm. But we're back in the paddock area. The track kitchen is actually going to be an area where the expansion, that's one of the things we're going to talk about here with Oaklawn today, their expansion, their coming hotel, and some of that area by the track kitchen's going to become a construction zone here fairly soon. But just the renovations, the new amenities, everything you can see, they've got it polished up and looking pretty here for the start of the season. We're in the main area. You've all been here where the horses come into the paddock area. You can see the horses for yourself before they go out for the call to post. That's exactly where we're at this morning, getting ready for what's going to be a big weekend of races. We'll talk a lot about it. We're going to have some picks coming up. We always do some picks on Fridays to get you ready for the weekend. Brad with Pick Suey. That ought to be easy for all of you to remember. Pick Suey is going to be with us here a little bit later in the show, and you can get their picks at Pick Suey. And that's three O's, by the way, S-O-O-O-I-E, picksuey.com. But we got some picks to win with this weekend on opening weekend at Oaklawn.
Well, thanks.
We'll do that about 8:15. We'll come out of that break. Somewhere around. Be here before 8:20.
Or just listen to the whole show and then you get it. How about that?
Right.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But, we're here and we're by ourselves, technically. I mean, there's not anybody here because apparently, 6 a.m. is a little early for people to start showing up at Oakland.
Well, out here. Now, back in the barn area, they've been back there before we got up.
Yeah, they've been there all night, probably. But it's probably going to get really crowded here soon. So there's a lot of people I know, though, that are coming down for the weekend that are going to be checking out the races and everything because just amazing that it's already here and that the season has already started because here's the thing, I'll be honest, I don't sit back and spend my weekends and watching every horse race, all these horse races from around the country. It's just not my thing, but there's something about when you come to Oaklawn, you're all invested in it. You sit there and you watch. You bet on a few of the ponies and everything. I mean, you go all in on
it. We'll make you an expert by 9 o'clock this morning.
That's
on horse racing. So we got that. We'll take the 50-cent corned beef sandwiches tomorrow. We'll bring a big crowd out, 10-cent soft drinks, so we'll tell you about all the great opportunities ahead of you this weekend. But corned beef sandwiches tomorrow will bring out a big crowd for that. Plus, tomorrow, the Razorbacks play. It's the SEC Big 12 Challenge, stepping out of conference play this weekend. So none of us expect the Hogs to go to Lubbock and win, but it's a huge opportunity for this basketball team. If you're going to make the tournament, I don't know if this is a must-win, but it sure feels like you would take a huge step in the right direction towards eventually having a chance to be in the tournament with a win at Lubbock and Texas Tech, who's ranked 14th in the country.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a game that obviously is always circled because, I think it's awesome where you have the SEC or any conference have these challenges because we know that years back, when Arkansas played Syracuse and Bud Walton Arena, it was such a great game, and it's something you won't see very often, but that was the SEC Old Big East Challenge.
Oh, yep.
And then they've done the SEC Big 12 Challenge, SEC ACC Challenge, whatever it is. I think it's awesome that they do these things. Now, people can argue about whether or not it's best to have it just right flat in the middle of conference season. You can make that argument, or if you have issues with that, that's fine. But I like how they do these things, and I wish more sports, and especially football, would do something like this. I think that if you have it to where it is set up in a way to where every team in your conference, or at least most of the teams in your conference, play other teams from another conference, and it's always set up by matchups because, let's be honest, Arkansas is probably not going to be able to play Kansas in these games. It's always going to be a Kentucky-Kansas type matchup because that's what everyone's going to see. It's almost like they go through the ranking system of each conference, and then they just pair up 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, and so on and so forth. But just imagine if football did something like this, where the SEC played the ACC mm-hmm. in football, and every team from the SEC played an ACC team. Imagine how that would be able to eliminate all of the scheduling problems, all of the issues, all of the whining, and all of the problems that people have with scheduling, just to do something as cool as that.
Yeah.
And then Arkansas, of course, it's a pretty familiar foe that they're playing Texas Tech because they have played Texas Tech in recent years. Of course, they played them in Bud Walton and on the road. Bobby Knight was a coach way back when. Talking about when Sean McCurdy hit a half-court shot. There's a name for you. You probably haven't heard in a while. Sean McCurdy hitting that shot right before halftime. So that was a big game when Bobby Knight was down there. Of course, you had the game where Tubby Smith was the coach at Texas Tech, and it was a little special one for Dusty Hannes, who had transferred into Arkansas from Texas Tech, and he had a big game in that one. But, you know, this is a completely different Texas Tech team. This isn't a team where you should win this game and you're evenly matched. This is a Texas Tech team taken over by Chris Beard that might be one of the better teams in their conference and for sure a top 15 team in the country.
Yeah. And I know we're going to talk a lot about this game. I want to talk about one other angle here, though, for the weekend. How does the SEC do as a whole? Because this is a league that is proud of the progress they've made the last couple of seasons in men's basketball. How do you think, I mean, in the Big 12 has been one of the better basketball leagues in the country, top two or three conference, I think we'd all agree on the last 4 or 5 years at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a good basketball league. This is not an easy deal for the SEC. Earlier in the year, I mean, you look at the matchups, you got, as always, Kansas and Kentucky playing. They set these things way out. Now, Tennessee already played Kansas early in the year, but that's really the game you'd like to have not had in November. You'd like to really have it now. And I bet you Tennessee would like to have it back. They lost to Kansas earlier this season. One of the handful of losses. They got 87-81.
Their only loss, yeah.
Yeah, their only loss. So they would much probably rather have played them today, obviously, or this weekend rather, than have to play them back in November. Because I think the outcome might have been different. But it's Kansas, Kentucky. Tennessee plays West Virginia. I guess those are the two biggest national matchups, if you will, in this SEC Big 12 Challenge.
Yeah, well, if you want to throw in, too, as far as rankings go, Iowa State and Ole Miss play. They're two top 25 teams.
Iowa State's been hot lately.
Yeah, which is the thing, is because before the season started, you never would have guessed that game would be a game that you'd watch because no one thought Ole Miss would be what they are right now, and Iowa State kind of came out of nowhere, too. So that's going to be an interesting matchup, too. But that's the thing. I was really disappointed when it was announced that Arkansas was playing Texas Tech because I feel like we've seen it so recently. If they could have played a Baylor or a TCU or a West Virginia, like imagine playing West Virginia and Bob Huggins. Like that would be such an interesting – they're not very good this year, but just be interesting to see.
And I don't know would this really be possible with the way they got to charter planes and hotels? But surely you can work this out where maybe you decide mid-December – late December, somewhere, how we're really going to seed these and set these things up rather than, I mean, how many months ago was this all decided who you're going to play?
Right.
It's months and months and months ago. I just think it would make for better TV. I mean, no one really cares if they get a loss right now out of conference play. I mean, yeah, you want to win them all, but, you know, is this going to keep Tennessee from being a one seed if they lost to West Virginia? No. I just think Tennessee, Kansas, this weekend would be far better than when they played back in November. And Kentucky and Kansas, we've seen that a million times.
Yeah.
How many more times we got to see it?
Well,
but when you're setting it up, if you're the schedule makers, if you're ESPN who's really choosing how these things go,
you're doing Kentucky-Kansas every
time. Right, because those are the blue bloods. Those are the big household names.
Yes,
so I get why they do it. But, boy, I think a lot more people would be intrigued right now. In fact, I don't even care that they played November.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with Kansas, Kentucky playing again, and then if they play a third time in the tournament, so be it.
Yeah, I'd be all about it. And you know what's funny, because I agree with you as far as the scheduling goes, but three of the top 25 SEC teams aren't even playing in the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
That's what I'm talking.
Yeah.
You know,
LSU playing Missouri, and then Auburn and Mississippi State playing each other, which it's a top 25 matchup, but it's fun. It's weird to see it that way because now you're looking at it to where some of your better teams in your conference aren't going to be represented in the Big 12, SEC Big 12 Challenge. So now it kind of makes you wonder, okay, well, if the SEC doesn't perform well, it's not going to look down upon by anybody for any stretch, or at least it shouldn't be. Yeah. But it's just disappointing because, I mean, how great would it have been if you could have seen Auburn versus Texas or something like that? Just some teams that at least would be NCAA tournament bound, but unfortunately, we don't get that.
Follow the show on Twitter, at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hogs!
So the Morning Rush question of the day that we're going to have some fun with this morning is in the fact that we are live from Oaklawn. If you could name a horse in the races, what name would you give your horse? Very simple. So if you want to tweet at us at HitThatLineAR or call in 877-377-6963, we'll be sure to get those read for you as well. Now, we've talked a lot about the SEC Big 12 Challenge, and we'll get into that later in the show. But one thing that I wanted to bring up was the Razorback baseball team, which Dave Van Horn met with the media as well as a few of the players, and it's amazing that, you know, just a few months ago, and we all know how the season ended, and Arkansas was the College World Series runner-up and was a mere foul ball away from winning the national championship, winning the College World Series title. And I thought one of the interesting things, because we have some sound from Dave Van Horn, I thought one of the interesting things is what he had to say about the season ending and what's the mentality going into this season. Take a listen.
We need to continue to play well this year. You know, you can't, and that's not our mindset. Oh, we had a couple good years, you know, take the year off and try to get better for the next year. That's not the way it works. It's, you just got to keep it rolling. And, you know, I think about all that's going on in our program right now. You know, we've had a pretty good recruiting year with the 19 class. Got some pretty good young players in here. We got some young pitchers that are going to get on the mound. And that's always, as a coach, kind of reassuring. You can kind of see the future a little bit if nobody gets hurt. Our 2020 class is as good a class as I've ever recruited, I've ever been a part of.
So that was Dave Van Horn. Of course, if you want to watch the full interview or full press conference, be sure to go to hitthatline.com to check it out.
It's just a different culture there.
Yeah.
I mean, the culture of the baseball program versus the culture of what goes on with the football program and the basketball program are just so different.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Arkansas is a lot closer to what we're seeing with Alabama football is what we see with Arkansas baseball. I mean, if you want to equate it to something else, I mean, it's pretty amazing. You know, I heard Dave talking in this that we're watching the video from him. A lot of people around the state almost apologetic to him as they go to the state. Coach, has a great year last year. Let me pat you on the back here and tell you how sorry we are for the way the season ended last year. And he's like having none of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like fired him up even more for this year. It's a Saban-esque approach. It's a Saban-esque response to a gut-wrenching end to the season last year. And that's why we don't appreciate Dave Van Horn enough. We really don't, because we really don't understand how much the distance between him and the other programs when it comes to relation to greatness. It's not even close. We know what the results are, but just his style, his approach, the culture around his program is so much different than the other two sports.
And that's the thing, that it, just in that small sound clip, and again, you can watch the whole thing at hittheline.com, but the one thing from that sound clip, you could tell, of course, by his comments and all that, but just his mentality, and I agree with you, is the culture that he has. What Dave Van Horn has and what he's able to build up is that he has something that you wish your football program had, you wish your basketball program had, where it's like, we aren't satisfied. We don't be apologetic. I don't care about a few good years. It's like, oh, that's all well good. We don't care about any of that stuff. We care about coming back and getting better and getting back to it where we're not feeling sorry for ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything like that. And I think it's that killer mentality, because we've had a bunch of former baseball players on. I know Joe Serrano, when he came on with us last year, he talked about Dave Van Horn and just how it's an assassin's take that he has where we're going to go and do the job, and if you don't want to be a part of it, if you're not going to put in the work, we got nothing for you. See you later. I want winners in this program, and that's why, and one of the biggest reasons I feel like why the baseball program has been so successful and so consistent in that success.
Well, it starts at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave is the reason this program has been, as you said, so consistent. He's missed postseason play, the NCAA tournament, what, one time?
Once.
One time. I mean, we would be building statues, and you wouldn't be talking about naming the floor after Nolan. You'd be talking about naming it after Mike if Mike had been to 7 of 8 NCAA tournaments and made
some Final Four. A couple times.
Yeah. I mean, if you equated it
to
what Dave's accomplishments are in baseball, which would be making it to the national championship game once, making it – I equate College World Series. I know there's 8 teams there, but that's the equivalent to making a Final Four. If he'd done that, cut it in half because Mike's had half as much time as Dave at the school. I mean, if he just accomplished all of that or even a third of it, man, we'd be trying to give a Bielema-esque contract to Mike Anderson.
Yeah.
Huge buyout. Please stay. Please. I mean, because Dave gets the results because it starts with his mentality at the top. And he does it, in a sport. It's not just him. The whole sport's got their hand tied behind their back with the scholarship limitations. Now, he's had the edge with better facilities and, being able to show the resume of winning. And then I think the biggest edge that he's got when it, compared to other sports on the Hill is the amount of players he's put in the bigs. I mean, look at the players that get drafted and then the players that not only get drafted but go on to have real serious Major League Baseball careers coming out of Arkansas. That's what these guys want. That's why they come to Arkansas. They think their track to the pros and to navigate their way through minor league baseball, through rookie league and on up to, AAA, AAA is better when they develop and learn through Dave Van Horn's system. And he's got a proven track record. That's why he keeps having great recruiting classes. It's a culture in all of it, from recruiting to development to getting the results done. And if it was the same way in other sports, we wouldn't be so dissatisfied with things.
Well, and that's another thing, too, that with the program that he's built and the culture that he's built, because you mentioned not only being able to have on-the-field success, but also putting as many players in the majors as he has. And not just like, getting them in. Talking about high-level guys like Dallas Keuchel, guys like Cliff Lee, guys like Andrew Benintendi, guys that came in and now they're just tearing it up in the majors.
Right.
It's not like you're just having to get just in the league and that's it. Like, you're getting big-time guys.
And let's be honest, that's more important than the College World Series to the players. To us as fans, we want the College World Series appearances. You want to go back to the College World Series and this time be the last team standing with the trophy in your hand. You got close. Everybody's fear, everybody's prayers. Well, last year hopefully wasn't his best and only shot for Dave Van Horn. You'd just be sick if Dave ended a career, a Hall of Fame career, because he's going in to the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame tonight with a special ceremony. I don't know if the official induction is tonight, but I know our buddy Phil Elson, host of Halftime with Ty, is emceeing that banquet tonight in Northwest Arkansas. So, he's deserving. He's put in the work, and I got to believe he keeps knocking on the door. He's going to knock it down. This is why we admire and respect this baseball program that cranks it up in about 3 weeks or so, February 15th. That's why we admire and respect it so much and wish there was more of the characteristics of what goes on with Dave in football and men's basketball.
And that's really the only thing that's now missing from Dave Van Horn's resume.
He's done everything else.
And I'm not saying it'll be a disappointment or it ever will be a disappointment if Dave Van Horn, like this season, doesn't win it all. But it's a matter of if you make it to that next step, then if you're Dave Van Horn, obviously you want to keep winning, you're going to keep doing it, but you've accomplished about everything as you could to be a college baseball coach.
You'd be heartbroken for him if he ended up like Mike Martin. At Florida State. That guy had an awesome career and made, 18 College World Series over a long, lengthy career. Some nutty number. I may not have the 18, but it was a lot of College World Series they appeared in that never won at all for Florida State. That guy deserved to win all. And you talk about when we went down there for, I think it was 2009 for that Super Regional, couldn't have asked for a classier individual to be the head coach of the host team. Super nice to the media. But, there was a guy that did everything right for a number of years but never won the College World Series. You'd hate for Dave Van Horn to follow that, to end up on that same list. So
yeah, because you just brought up Mike Martin. I mean, if you just go to his Wikipedia page, it's littered with appearances and College World Series appearances. But yeah, and I agree with you. That's the last thing.
Double-digit appearances in the College World Series over a long career. I mean, that's what I'm saying. great career, Hall of Fame career, done it all except the one thing you you really set out to do.
And also, and
I just got to believe Dave's not going to end it that way. He's going to bring home the trophy to Arkansas at some point.
And because, the like you said, the last thing you ever want to have, and Dave Inhorn deserves better than what this would end up being, but if he ended up not winning at all, it's always going to be pointed back to the drop foul ball. It's always going to be pointed back to that. There's got to be a redemption story there somewhere. I think Dave deserves it. I think that the fans deserve it. There has to be a redemption story, because the last thing you want to do is be stuck with that play, that game, that moment, always being in the back of everyone's mind saying, that's Arkansas in a nutshell right there, is just so close yet so far from winning it all.
It would be like missing a four-footer to win the Masters and you never in a playoff and you never got back. You never got another chance to win the Masters again.
Yeah. Or missing an extra point to lose the national championship.
Which Super Bowl was it that the Rams and the Patriots played in when they were in St. Louis and there was the stop at the goal line? I don't remember what year it was.
You're talking about the Titans and Rams.
Titans and Rams.
Mm-hmm.
The stop at the goal line.
1 yard short.
1 yard short. Think if you never won a Super Bowl, but that is as close as you got. Mm-hmm. You had your hands on the trophy.
Yep.
I mean, There's many examples of that sport, and it certainly could turn out that way. But here's a guy that's put in the work.
99,
that's
when it was.
1999, Tyson. All right, so I think you get the picture of what we're saying. To be that close, to have your hands on the trophy and then to have it ripped away from you, just doesn't seem just.
Nope, sure doesn't.
I'm excited. I think a lot of people are excited about the start of baseball season right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can know this, and then we can end on this, too. That Dave Van Horn is never going to look at himself as poor, pitiful me. It's never going to be that.
That's why he's got a winner's mentality.
That's right. He is wired completely different.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Brad, good morning. We are excited. We are fired up about opening day. We're here at Oaklawn Ford. Couldn't think of a better place to be on this first day of the 2019 live meet. And it's going to be a great day, the Smarty Jones Stakes. Hey, there's a lot of things here on this nine-race card today for fans to be excited about.
January 25th. It's Christmas 2019 already, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we got a lot of stuff to get to here with you. We're glad you're with us. A little bit of a change in our horse racing segment that we do every Friday during the live meet at Oaklawn. Before we get to some of the races, Pick Sue, you've been doing a tip sheet for a number of years. And at the end, we're going to give people a code how they can save a little bit of money. But tell us about your tip sheet, and then we'll talk about some of the races today, including the Smarty Jones.
Yeah, so we've been handicapping the races for 12 to 13 years. To be dead honest, it started as I'm just a horse racing fan myself. A buddy of mine is as well. And, you know, when you know a little bit about the horses, everybody that goes to the track says, hey, what do you got in this race? What do you got in that? So we just started compiling a sheet. Word started spreading. We thought, heck, let's put it online, make a little money with it, help people enjoy the races, and let's see if we can bring some new racing fans in, give them some education.
Day one of the 2019 meet. How does this opening day card compare to other opening day cards you've seen here at Oaklawn before?
I tell you what, for the last 5 years, easily, this is probably the best opening day card that I can remember. You know, pushing back, we're pushed back probably a good 12 days this year, you know, to avoid some of that weather. So that has helped. We've got top quality horses here on the ground. And this card, the only race I don't like on this card today is race number two. The rest of them, it's incredible. It almost looks like an April card.
Of course, a race that a lot of people are going to be looking forward to is the Smarty Jones race. That is race eight today. What do you see going on with that one?
This is going to be a very competitive race. A bunch of three-year-olds coming in. A lot of them look to be starting to click at the right time. You know, as you glance down the form, the first one that kind of stands out is Long Range Teddy in the one Long Range Toddy in the one spot. Everybody loves the rail at Oaklawn. He's won three in a row, but the monster kind of sits outside, which has always been a frowned upon post position. Great attempt. Bankett's getting a lot of talk in the back stretch. sentimentally, if you're a person that goes to the track and picks them by name, you can't go past the legendary Jack Van Berg. You got to look at him, right, if you're just picking them by name. So there's a lot of options here. Some good value in the middle with Six Shooter, Boldore. I think it's a wide-open race, one that will be fun to watch and really set the tone early for the three-year-old division.
Talk about setting the tone early. A lot of people like to bet on patterns. They like to bet trainers. They like to bet jockeys. Early in the meet, you don't have a pattern. It's day one. So do you need to be a little more cautious? What should be your approach if you're coming to Oakland here for this opening weekend? Well, there's not a lot of data, at least here from Oakland. There's no data to go on based on at the start of the meet.
That's right. Yeah, you know, you have to really be careful. In fact, we give our subscribers what we call the word of caution for opening weekend. We've got 55 days. You don't have to make your money all this weekend, right? We've got a long meet to go. You mentioned it earlier on the show. You can get in there today, have a couple cold beers, bet a few races, and walk out with money in your pocket. That's considered a winning day today. You want to watch early for track patterns. We don't know how the track is. We've heard it's a little bit deep this year. You want to see what lanes are running best. If a two-horse wins two in a row, go ahead and have some confidence, bet on the two for the third time in a row. Those little patterns will lead to a lot of insight. We'll know a lot more after this weekend.
Now, race 9, final race on the card today. You really like the 7-horse, Proud Nation. Tell us what you see in Proud Nation and how you see the 9th race and the final race here on this opening day playing out.
Yeah, so we talk about patterns and angles. This is one of our favorites. First of all, race 9 is the last race of the day, so it's what's known to bettors is called the get-out race. You might not have hit very many tickets. You're trying to get out of there with some money in your pocket. A lot of people fire away on this last race. We don't. We play it with caution, but Proud Nation is the morning line favorite, and we actually think because of some local connections with Laughing Fox, the 3-horse, we think Proud Nation might be the second or even the third choice in this race offering a good price. He puts blinkers on going long. That's an opposite move that people like to see, but works really well. Hit at a 28% clip last year at Oakland. Blinkers on, stretching out a little bit longer today. We like Proud Nation in the 9th.
Now, Brad, I'm a big fan of long shots. If I'm going to be doing a race like this, I'm always looking to see what the long shots are. Are there any long shots for today?
There are. In fact, we gave our subscribers and those that bought our sheet a nice little exacta box in race 3 with a couple of long shots. But the one that we kind of like to stand out on top in the 3rd race is number 10, Candy Rock. Comes in for Ingrid Mason. She loves to start this meet off on the right foot and go hot. I think we'll get at least 5-1 or better. And if we do, Candy Rock is our long shot play of the day.
All right, let's look ahead to the weekend. Obviously, there's racing today that we've talked about, but also the American Beauty coming up tomorrow. Another good stakes race for this weekend for fillies and mares. How do you see that race this weekend? A lot of people will be here for tomorrow on the corned beef sandwiches, but also the American Beauty.
Absolutely. Vertical Oak is kind of the standout in the field. But again, we're talking about long shots. We're going to take a shot tomorrow. Vertical Oak has run 3 times at Oaklawn, and the best she's done is 3rd twice. We're going to look one spot to the inside. Mac Robertson's got a horse, Amy's Challenge, that won first out last year for us on the Dixie Belle. Kind of the same pattern, again, coming in this year off a nice little layoff. She's looked ready, had a great work last week. She looks ready. We should get a price. We like Amy's Challenge tomorrow in the American Beauty.
All right, you can find all of Brad's picks at PickSui. That's with 3 O's, by the way, PickSui.com. Get in on their weekend package. Now, you've got a special offer. Right now, use the promo code RUSH, R-U-S-H, and save $5. You can also sign up for the free play of the day and have it delivered right to your inbox. This is an online deal. It's easy to use. And, Brad, right now you're offering a $5 discount when you use the promo code RUSH.
Yeah, absolutely. So enter promo code RUSH. You'll get our plays emailed to you in a downloadable file. You've got my email there that you can respond to. If you have any questions, we're here to help you learn and have fun at the races.
And you can also find them on Facebook. Just search for at PickSui on Facebook or PickSui on Facebook and on Twitter at PickSui as well. Brad, we will talk to you each Friday of the 2019 live racing season, and good luck today.
Looking forward to it, guys. Have a good time.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on HitThatLine.com.